our Daddy and our God, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence and to rejoice before you. My Daddy and my God, your word has the ability to turn situations around. We said at thy word, we were going to do whatever you asked us to do. And we did. We danced, we walked, we sang, we praised you. Daddy, your children will hear your word now. I pray that this word will fall on transformed hearts and yielded minds, so much so that they will go out from here doing what you have asked them to do in the name of Jesus. And by reason of your word, everyone who is in a position of dejection, rejection, abandonment, everyone lying in the ashes, they will rise up and they will go to the place of their glory in the name of Jesus. Anoint your word afresh so that testimony will be the portion of your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, can you open your Bible to the book of John chapter 5? The book of John chapter 5. I'm going to quickly read verses 1 to 16. It's a story we all know very well. John 5, 1 to 16. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. Somebody say 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another stepped down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto him, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Praise God. I'm sure we've read this story many, many times. I've preached out of this story before. I just believe God led me to have us talk about it again. And when God is doing this, it's because He's got something for someone. And I believe that God has reserved His blessing for you today, and He will indeed bless you in Jesus' name. The Bible makes us to understand that there was this pool in Jerusalem that was called Bethesda. Bethesda means house of mercy or house of kindness. You can understand why it was so named. It was because it had a reputation of making people whole after they've been sick. If only on one condition, they will be the first to enter into the pool whenever the angel comes to cause ripples in that water. I hope you can understand the implication of this. There will be many times when the wind will blow and there will be ripples in the water. Am I right? There will be many times when maybe a fish in the water will suddenly jump up, or some animal in the water will jump up and there will be ripples. Waiting for the sun, somebody just looking for ripples. Because remember, there was a competition. Everybody lined up, everybody queued up, everybody surrounded the pool, just waiting for their time. In other words, there will be false starts. There will be false jumping. There will be false assumptions. People will rush in when they shouldn't rush in because they didn't know when the angel was coming. Just hoping that they will be the first to jump into the pool. It was a life of uncertainty. A life of unpredictability. That is what happens when Jesus is yet in our boat, is yet to be in our boat. That was the way these folks lived from year to year, waiting for that season. They did not even know the season. They didn't know when it was going to happen. Because the coming of the angel was seasonal. So your ability to get help would depend on how strong you are, how quickly you could push other people out of the way, how fast you will run. Of course, for those who couldn't do it, it would depend on the availability of help. You will need somebody to either push you, somebody to carry you or throw you, or you know, or yeah. So it depends on who was the fittest. But there was a man in the crowd, in the midst of the infirm, who had kept company with the unfortunate. Your story will not be the story of the unfortunate in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes people will look at somebody and say, oh, they really tried, you know. They are just unfortunate. Not that they didn't do well. Look, they really did. They put in all their effort. They did all this. They are just unfortunate. It's Jesus that makes the difference. He will make the difference in your life in Jesus' name. The Bible says this man had been sick. He looked at him. He saw that he had been in that case. He didn't say in that place. He had been in that case. The Bible says he had been sick for 38 years. There's something called disuse atrophy. In other words, for example, let me give you an example. Even though there's nothing wrong with your hand, Even though there's nothing wrong with your hand, if you decide today to put a collar or a sling and just hang your hand and stop using it, what do you think will happen to that hand? It will wither. It will be small compared to the other one that you use. I hope you know that. In other words, so if we don't exercise our brain, it will start to go down. That is why those who exercise their brain, even when they develop dementia, you may not quickly pick it. They will run for a longer time. If you don't exercise yourself too, the chances are that you are going to wear quickly. Praise the Lord. I just thought I should add that. Praise God. This man had been there for 38, had been in that situation for 38 years. And Jesus could see. So perceiving, just seeing how wasted the guy was, how thin he was, how deformed he was, Jesus just knew straight away that this man had been in that condition for so many years. And Jesus walked up to him and said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" How will you feel if you are the one? You are sitting among the infirm. You don't want to identify with those group of people. You can't even walk. You can't even stand. And Jesus walks up to you and said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" I'm sure the next thing will be, if I don't want to be made whole, why am I here? Why are you asking me the question when I'm already by the pool? The only reason I'm here is because I want to receive mercy. Praise God. And you will realize that was not the only occasion when Jesus have had to ask people, "Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed?" When obviously it looks like they need to be healed. Praise God. "Wilt thou be made whole?" Jesus asked. It was because Jesus knew that not everyone who front up in the presence of God come because they want to experience the power of God. I've said it before. Various people want to be called Christian for various reasons. Various people have worn the toga of ministers of God for various reasons, for the advantage it can offer. Some are mere spectators. When we come together like this, it's always a mixed multitude. And my prayer for you is that you are going to have a definite encounter with the Lord in the name of Jesus, that your life will never be the same again. What distinguishes one from the other is the amount of price you want to pay. Those who come to be spectators, those who come to serve the Lord, those who come to be part of the kingdom, what will mark you out is the amount of price you are ready to pay. I know that you are not saved by works. You are saved by grace. But your work is a confirmation of the fact that you have been saved. Praise the Lord. Because if you are saved and the kind of work you do does not depict the one who has been saved, then people will doubt your salvation. God himself will doubt your salvation. Jesus knew this. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Some people will simply present there so that they will not be criticized and say, "He's sick. He knows that there's a pool there. He never went there. He stays at home." Some people are quite happy to have people dole out little things to them, and every day it is pity party. Oh, how unfortunate is that brother. Their situation, their circumstance is so terrible. God, you know, remember I was telling you the other time that, do you know, it is easier to get people, to find people who will commiserate with you when you have an unfortunate situation. People who will pity you. There are many people, because there are some people who enjoy that, because they measure themselves by other people, and so when they think they are better than you in one area, that's what gives them, you know, they feel good, so they will come. I've told you, the way you know a true friend is when things are going well for you. People who will rejoice and stand by you, and you don't become their enemy. When you are getting promotion, you know what I'm talking about, and suddenly, you know, that friendship starts to become shaky. Eh? Praise the Lord. Amen. The situation of this man has been critical for 38 years. And Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? The question was, do you want to be healed? What did the man say? What was his answer? The first thing he said, I have no man. Praise the Lord. Do you want to be healed? He said, I have no man. Praise the Lord. Everyone that has no man this morning, the Lord will appear for you in Jesus' name. Do you want to be healed? He said, I have no man. They didn't ask you, do you have man or not? Do you want to be healed? He said, I have no man. If we are not careful, we will keep blaming other people for our situations. I have no man. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, 5-8. Let's read it. I like it very much. I like that particular part. He said, thus said the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. Take note of that. Any situation you are in, and you allow your heart to depart from God and begin to trust in something, you are putting yourself at loggerhead with him. When you begin to trust in something else but God. Do you want to be healed? Say, I have no man. We are not talking about any man. We are talking about the power of God. He said, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. One of the major problems in Australia right now that people are talking about is what? Salinization. If you go to the wheat belt, you see great patch of land where you cannot grow anything. Why? Because the salt content is too high. You see, the Bible knows what it's talking about. It knows where the salt content, the land where the salt content is too high, you cannot plant anything there. Nothing good can happen there. That's why the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea. Because of the salt content, nothing can grow there. When we begin to trust in man, when we begin to put our hope in the system, and we forget the Lord God, he said the man will be like that patch ground where the salt content is abnormally high and nothing can thrive there. You become fruitful from today in the name of Jesus. He said, but blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Who is your hope? What is your hope based on? Stop defining yourself by the people you know. Don't let your heart depart from the Lord. There's another group of people that will dwell on patch ground. Dry ground. The rebellious. So those who don't trust in the Lord, the rebellious, they dwell on dry ground. But in Psalm 1 verse 3, the righteous who meditates upon the word of God day and night, the Bible says he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, who bring forth his fruit in its due season. The same thing is repeated in verse 8 here in Jeremiah 17:8. It says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Praise the Lord. Psalm 92 verse 13 also says the same thing. He said, they that be planted in the house of the Lord, they are the one who will prosper in the courts of our God. He said, they shall be fruitful in old age. They shall be fat and fruitful. Praise the Lord. You will be fruitful in the name of Jesus. He said, I have no one. Let me tell you something. There are people, the people who usually will have someone who will help them are the people who have something to offer. If you are crippled, if you are struggling, usually you don't. Nobody wants to know you. Am I right? Nobody wants to know you. Oh. People want people they can associate with and they can, so they can drop your name around and say, I know this person. Even if they don't like you, you know, they don't even talk to you, but they can drop your name. I know this person. I'm this, you know. Nobody wants to associate with the unfortunate. Or your name may look attractive when you are still driving high. I mean, when you are riding high, and the day they think they catch up with you, that's the day you cease to, because all they look at is what you have. As long as I have what you have, then. But there is somebody who will remember you when things are not going so well. And he will spot you in the crowd. It was a crowd of the infirm. And Jesus saw that man. And he knew his condition. It doesn't matter how many people were there. It doesn't matter whether there were hundreds or thousands or millions of people. Jesus was able to pinpoint him and said, for you, this man, do you want to be made whole? He will pinpoint you this morning in the name of Jesus. You know what? Your helplessness is an invitation for God to show up. You know that? Your helplessness. You may be in a particular situation and it looks like it's helpless right now. It's an invitation for God to show up, because that is where he likes to show up. Those who came for the prayer meeting on Friday, we read from Ezekiel chapter 36. And God was saying, giving the reason why he was going to bless the Israelites. He told them all the things they've done wrong. He said, but I'm going to bless you for my name's sake, for my glory's sake. Not because of what they have done, but because God will glorify himself. He said, I will magnify myself before the heathens. My prayer for you this morning is that you are the one that God will use to magnify himself before the heathens in Jesus' name. He saw that man and he decided he was going to magnify himself. He said, will thou be made whole? Hannah was in a similar situation. And God showed up in Shiloh that year. She burst into song, singing of the greatness of God. I want to take us to a very interesting story in 2 Chronicles chapter 25. 2 Chronicles 25 verses 8 and 9. Perhaps you are in that situation. Second Chronicles 25, 8 and 9. Okay, I will just give you the summary from verse 8. He said, but if thou we go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. Listen to this. For God had power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I've given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. The king of Judah had to go to war, and he thought he was going to lose in that war. So he went and recruited the king of Israel. And it was at a point that Israel was not living right with God. And the man of God came to the king and told the king, I said, look, don't allow the king of Israel, don't allow Israel to go with you to that war. He said, if you allow Israel to go with you to that war, you are going to be defeated. The king of Judah said, I shouldn't call him. I paid money. I paid lots of money. I paid millions. I paid billions to recruit them to come and fight on our behalf. And the man of God said, the Lord chooses who he wants to help and who he wants to cast down. That same God that can help you, can he not bring back the money? No, the lesson for us is this. Sometimes as children of God, you have sold into something, and then you discover that that is not the place to go, and you discover that is not the will of God for your life, and you discover that it is not in line with the word of God, and you say, because I've sown so much, I cannot let go. Think twice. You say, he chooses who he wants to help and who he wants to cast down. Praise the Lord. For the man in question, it was physical limitation. Yours may not be physical limitation. There are many things that limit our lives. One of the things that limits our lives is when we procrastinate. I'm sure many people can identify with me here. I will do it tomorrow. You know, I'm going to serve God better next year. Just let me get this promotion. Just let this prayer be answered. Then let this be, you know. And you know what? I want to tell you something, that there is no end to it. Praise the Lord. I was reading the story of Madonna. How many of us know about Madonna? The pop star. And she said, look, he said, performance is like a fix. When she performs and the crowd applauds, but it doesn't take long and the whole feeling goes away and you want to do something to recreate it again. How many of us have been listening to some of the testimonies of, is it Rupert Murdoch or what's his name? The guy, you've been listening to him? Okay. There was a particular talk of an exchange between him and the former prime minister, the immediate past one that lost the election. I mean, it was on the radio. The discussion that took place between them and the power play. And so some people came out and they were talking about what an alpha male is and begin to look at the chemicals, the things that changes. You know, let me tell you something. If we are not careful in this world, there are many things that tend to take our attention and we begin to say defer when we are going to serve God. We are waiting only that something will go wrong before we serve God. But as long as things are still going very well and we are feeling good, we don't want to think of God. From today, that story will change in your life in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something. The things of this world have a tendency to intoxicate people. They trace the chemical changes. Okay? You know, some people have also done some studies to look at people who work on the floor of stock exchange. How many of us are aware of that? To particularly the men, to look at their testosterone level. In fact, there is a big clinic in America today. Today, what the guy did was to actually go and set up his clinic on top of the stock exchange in the US. And what he's doing is this, giving hormone replacement therapy to men just to fire them up, give them more testosterone so that when you get to the floor, you are, you know, people take risk. No, it's there. That's what is happening right now. We get carried away by the things of the world. We get carried away by, look, all these things are they are transitory. And that is how people got us into the trouble, the financial mess we got into in the first place. Because what some of them did was this. They will get, the bank will come, give you loan with limited collateral. And then, so that at the end of the year, they can declare big profits. Okay? When they declare big profits, the board will sit down and raise their salary so they are smiling home with millions. And the businesses who borrow the money don't even invest it, and they will keep part of the money. Do you know why? Do you know what they did? They have insured this money. Now, those who insure the money are who? They are you and I. Because the supernation boards are bind up those insurances. And so when it fails, it's the poor man that actually loses his money. And they are smiling home. Praise the Lord. Stop deferring serving God. For you, it may be fear. Do you know you cannot fear two things in your life? You either fear God or fear man. Or fear that situation. For some people, it is because things just keep going wrong. Murphy's Law. Anything that can possibly go wrong would seem to go wrong, and then we can't get our heads clear. But I can tell you something. There is somebody who comes to your life and will locate you where you are and will say, "Will thou be made whole?" And today he's asking you the same question. That life of yours will change in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, "Rise up. Rise. Take up thy bed and walk." Thank God that Jesus came into that situation for that man. 38 years. One moment. The story changed. Your story will change in Jesus' name. You know what someone said? He said, "You will not know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have." He said, "I have no man." But then he had Jesus. You have Jesus. Your story will change in Jesus' name. You see, the full power of God may not be given expression in our lives until we are stuck with him and him alone. I was reading a piece by Oswald Chambers. Somebody quoted it on Facebook. And he says, as a child of God, you must get used to being so lonely that you don't even know that there's no one around you anymore. Because you are so comfortable with being in his presence. Not who you don't have or who you have. Praise God. Jacob was in the place of loneliness. In Genesis 28 verse 19 to 22. Jacob didn't just get to that place of loneliness in his life. Do you know what happened to him? Jacob was the preferred of the two boys by the mom. But Jacob was not the preferred of the dad. Am I right? Because there has been a prophecy concerning Jacob that the older shall serve the younger. Is that not true? Yet, or despite that, the father still said to Esau, he said, "Go, make venison. I want to bless you." He knew that the blessing belonged to Jacob in the first place. He said, "Go, make venison. I want to bless you." That's not a sign of love, but God has already said that the older we serve the younger one. You think the trick of Rachel worked? Simply because they were so tricky. Because God has ordained that he wanted to bless Jacob before. So, of course, Jacob got in the wrong. His brother was angry with him. His father didn't like him in the first place, so it was by trick he got the blessing. The mom who loved him, because his brother was going to kill him, he had to run away from that place, make his way out, and on his way to where he was going, to Laban, to find a wife, what happened? Something happened there. On the way, he slept. He made a stone his pillow. He dreamt. He saw a ladder from heaven. See angels coming down and going up. And what did he say? What did he call the place? He called the place Bethel. Bethel, house of God. He said, now this is the house of God. You will never know the place of God until you are left with him. His circumstance took him to Bethel. Even as you have come into his presence today, you will have an encounter with him in the name of Jesus. House of God. You need to find your house of God by being in his presence. It's a place of divine encounter. But something happened there. I want you to know something. Genesis chapter 28, verse 19 and 22. 19 to 22. Read verse 22 especially. I don't think I should miss that opportunity. Because some people, when they go to a church, they say, you see, because I don't like the pastor, he said this, I don't agree with him. If you don't agree with the pastor and you are not being blessed, leave the church, go to another church. I've been saying it before. Because if you stay in that place, you will not be blessed. You will never be fulfilled. You can never be fulfilled your full potential. I'm telling you. You cannot. Before you leave, better repent. Go to him and repent first. Because if you go to the other place, it will follow you. What you left with will follow you there. But why am I saying this? Let's go to Genesis 28, 19 to 22. I know what I'm saying. It's a spiritual transaction. It's not just any kind of transaction. I've said, for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. The God's house where you have met God, your place of encounter, is the place where you do what? You pay your tithe. It was his place of encounter that he did what? That he paid his tithe. He said, God, I've come to your house, I've met you. Now that I've met you here, I am going to pay what? A tenth of whatever you give me on my way back. Praise the Lord. I hope you are enjoying this saying. I hope you are enjoying it. Okay, if you do enjoy it, let's go a bit further. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Jesus said, he said, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to what? Destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because, listen to this second part, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. A few there be that find it. I hope you are seeing what I'm seeing. This is why you enjoy what I'm telling you today. Jesus did not say a few there be that walk on the narrow and straight way. Take note of it very well. Three things. One, Jesus said there is a straight gate. And he says, take the straight gate. So if your life starts to become complicated, I've been telling you before, some children of God, you can't ask them, is it money? They will say, it depends whether your head is upside down or your head is up. No. He says, straight is the gate. The one who is the one who is transacting with God, you can always get what you need to get from them. I'm telling you, because there's no color about it. It has to come. He says, straight is the gate. He said, but there is another gate. It is the ever expanding gate. Is the debating gate, the modernizational gate, is the all-comer gate, irrespective of your status gate. You don't have to leave different gates. He said, wide is it? It takes everyone. Praise the Lord. And then, there is the second gate, the straight gate. It is straight, it is narrow. Take note of this. He didn't say many don't work on it. He said, few are the people that find it. Few are the people that find it. Why? Because the question I ask myself is, why don't people find it? Is it because they cannot see? The Bible talks about those who have been blinded by the God of this world, so they can't see. Is it because they are in need of a teacher or a leader? Remember the utopian eunuch, say, how can I understand except somebody teaches me or explains to me? That is where you come in. If you say you are a child of the light, do you want to show somebody the way? Do you see it as your responsibility to show somebody the way? Or are people being presented with the wrong gate? Because that's another thing. You may come and somebody, I can preach sweet, sweet message. Pay your tithe. Oh no, I won't even talk about tithe, you know, because it rubs some people the wrong way. So I'll just say, the Lord, He's so merciful. He's so good. He's so, you know, He will just bless you. You don't have to do anything. Jesus has paid the price. You know, He wants your life to be the same. You just come. Everybody who came to Him, He accepted them. It's true. Everyone who came to Jesus, He accepted them. But not everyone who came to Jesus never left Him the same way they came. Only a few people came to Jesus and left the same way. Who are these people? Huh? There are a few people who came to Jesus and left the same way they have come. Who? There were some people. The rich young ruler said, what can I do? As soon as Jesus said, you have to give away this, he ran away. Praise the Lord. There was another person. He came, Lord, I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. He said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. Did you hear anything about him anymore? He disappeared. Of course, Judas, he was even in a worse state. But only very few people. Every other person who came to Jesus, He accepted them. But think of Matthew, think of Zacchaeus, none of them ever be the same again. Your life will never be the same again in Jesus' name. Or is that gate so small that you have to look so hard to find it? That is why you have to study your Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, the workman that did not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of what? Truth. In other words, you have to look very hard. You have to search to find it. Is it so narrow that people have to squeeze through? Jesus said, it will be easier for the camel passing through the eye of a needle than for a rich man. I would substitute the word rich man, that the comfortable man, to go to the kingdom of God. You will make it in Jesus' name. Lastly, you know, sometimes when God sets you free, some people will want to constrain you. After God had set this man free, healed him, do you know what the Pharisees did? Who asked you to take your bed on a Sunday morning? Praise the Lord. They cannot see that his 38 years of suffering has come to an end. What they were concerned about was, of course, it was about Jesus doing miracles. Because they were not the one who did it. Because they were not the one who was being seen. Because they were not the one who prayed for the man. It was simply because someone else had done it, and they said, They look for excuse. Have you ever experienced it? When God has blessed you and you come, if you've been doing it, you better stop it. God bless somebody and they bought a new dress and they wore it and they are happy that day and they come. Sister so and so, didn't you see a different color? Am I right? Some people do it. Didn't see a different color there. I mean, I would have picked this. So, in other words, you are saying your dress is not good. That's not for a child of God. Who asked you to take your bed? God is blessing somebody. Say, well, me, I would have bought another car. You know, that one. Rejoice for them. Rejoice. That's their choice. They have not done it against God. It doesn't matter. Rejoice. That's your choice. If you like, go and choose purple. If I like, I choose black. Praise God. Who asked you to pick your bed? I think I will leave it here. Praise God. I won't say more. Amen. But the parting note is this. The man did something that we must not do. In verse 13, people went to him. They say, who asked you to take your bed? He said, I don't know. And truly, the Bible says he did not know who asked him to take his bed. Remember, in verse 16 or verse 14, he had a second encounter and Jesus had to tell him to sin no more. But verse 13 is very instructive for me. He did not even know the man that healed him. How can you? You've been suffering for 38 years and suddenly somebody came and said, rise, take your bed and go. And you walk. And you say you don't know him. You don't know who healed you? Do we fall into that state? The Lord who blesses you? The Lord who provided that job for you? The Lord who opened door for you? And then suddenly you say you don't know him? Suddenly you say, oh, we used to pray for 12 hours, but now, you know, it's not as hard as that. How many people pray like that anymore? I'm telling you, it's as saying as I don't know him. If you believe that he's the source, if you believe that he's the one who has blessed you, how can you not know him? How can you not serve him? How will you not pay homage to him? How will you not worship him? You see, he didn't even know. He couldn't remember. 38 years. No wonder. Thank God he had a second chance that Jesus went to him and said, brother, go, sin no more. Otherwise, the worst thing will come. You can see why a lot of people fall into trouble. Because they forget their source. You will not forget your source in Jesus' name. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 6, 10 to 15, Deuteronomy 8, 10 to 8, 18. Bible says, after you have been blessed, you have been fed, you built houses, you are enjoying, you have your house is full of goodly things. He said, you shall remember the Lord your God who gave you power to make wealth. Because we forget. That's why people lose their miracles, because people forget. Tuesday, we talked about the influence of parents on their children. I know somebody said, when you get to a place like this, because there's everything, there's not everything here. Eh? People are paying prices for it in form of broken homes, in form of drugs, in form of godliness, waywardness. There's a price for everything. There's no free lunch anywhere. You are either giving to God or you are giving to the other man. I won't mention his name. Praise the Lord. You will give to God in Jesus' name. Can we just rise up, please? Somebody is rising from the ashes, and your story is changing from today in the name of Jesus. That was a single encounter this man had. A single encounter. All the no man, there is no man to help me. There is no man. That story changed. Your story will change for good in the name of Jesus. Only remember the Lord God. Only remember that He is your God. That is the one who has blessed you. Please just take the bread and eat as you get the bread. But I want you to keep the wine, because everyone is going to drink in unison. The only ability you are going to be needing from today is that somebody has chosen to redeem you. Is that somebody has chosen to favor you. Is that somebody has chosen to single you out from the crowd. His name is Jesus. A history of 38 years was rewritten. So shall the history of your life be rewritten from today in the name of Jesus. Say, take your bed. Rise. He took his bed. He rose. And there's no record that he went back to that state again. Every victory God has given you shall be permanent in the name of Jesus. Where you are expecting victory, receive victory from today in Jesus' name. I say, receive victory from today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Daddy. Just begin to speak to the Lord. Begin to speak to Him. That man rose. He changed his status. He changed his friends. He was no longer friends with the lame, the blind, the sick, the infirmed. There was a change of position because Jesus spotted him. Jesus has spotted you. There's going to be a change of your position. This man never had the opportunity to partake in worshiping in the temple. That day, his journey took him to the temple, because the story of his life changed. Before that day, this man depended on people. He was waiting on people who would take him to the next level. But Jesus came and took him to the next level. He will take you to the next level of your life right now in the name of Jesus. For years, this man was watching other people being blessed and giving testimony. Because as the angels came and troubled the waters, he saw people jumping in and receive their healing and receive their blessing. But he met Jesus on that day. He was no longer watching people. People were watching him. The Lord will so beautify your life that people will start to watch you from today in the name of Jesus. The story of this man was until that day. Such that he has lost friends, relatives, companions. That was why he had no man. But once Jesus touched him, he became the man that even the Pharisees, the priests, everyone was, the paparazzi of the time were milling around him, wanting to find out the source of his joy. from today you will be that person that people will come to because they want to know the source of your joy. In the name of Jesus, you are rising from the ashes. I say you are rising from the ashes in Jesus' name. We are going to drink in unison. Just, I'm going to drink mine first. Just hold on. Therefore, I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's drink in unison. Why don't you just speak to the Lord? Say, "Daddy, it's the Friendship Sunday. I'm your friend. I'm a partaker of your body. I've eaten of your flesh and I drank your blood. There is a part of you inside of me. I'm a carrier of your presence. The world will see me as your friend from today. The world will know me as your friend. Because with you, nothing shall be impossible. Every ceiling, every limitation, every power of the enemy that hovers over my life, I destroy you in the name of Jesus. I'm rising up. I'm taking my rightful place. The Lord is enlarging my coast. I'm going to places I've never been before. I'm rising. What has been slowing me down these years has come to an end. I am rising. I'm doing the impossible because Jesus has spotted me today. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Father, we thank you for your word. You are the one we need to be accomplished in this world. You are the one we need to fulfill the purpose for which you have brought us into the world. Everyone that is here today, by reason of an encounter with him, you are going to fulfill your purpose in the name of Jesus. Little will no longer be enough. You become people who do great things in the kingdom in the name of Jesus. A new standard is set in your life. The standard of the Holy Spirit. You will meet it in the name of Jesus. Because the one who has called you is able. You are more than able in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. Father, we thank you for this week. We thank you, Lord, and we bless the Holy Spirit as you usher us into the new month to come. It shall be a month of great things in the name of Jesus. It shall be a month of empowerment in the name of Jesus. It shall be a month of envisioning in the name of Jesus. Above all, we will find the straight and the narrow gate in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.